Yo, what's going on, and welcome back to another edition of the Just Swing It podcast. I am Chris McBroad. I'm joined tonight by John Burrell, as per normal. Fat Baby Funds is not with us tonight. He's doing some traveling for work, and he just couldn't really fit in the recording tonight, especially since he's in a different time zone, so it's still pretty early there as compared to where me and John's at. So it's going to be like old times. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, me and John will just shoot the shit, talk about the market, and who knows what we'll get into tonight. How you doing, John? I know Fat Baby Funds isn't here, but it's a pretty good week. All three of our football teams won.
But, yeah, both of our football teams done very well this weekend. Eagles had a really good win there, and the good thing about the Cowboys winning is it kept the New York Giants from being 3-0. So really good start to the season for the Eagles being 3-0. Really looking forward to this year's football season, and maybe we can be a contender this year.
Yeah, I release my power rankings on Twitter every week, and currently I think you have to say the Eagles are top of the list, them and the Dolphins, which is crazy to say.
One of the cool stats is our division has not had a back-to-back division winner since 2004, when the Eagles went back-to-back, and our division is having a winner. So every year they've been a different winner of our division, and the Cowboys were last year. So hopefully, if history is repeating itself, hopefully the Eagles will be the division leader this year, and we'll have a good run.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all, the Eagles are getting a pretty good head start on everyone with, I guess, Dak kind of being hurt. Of course, the backups won both of the last two games. All the Cowboys receivers are hurt too, so they'll be a whole different team when all the receivers, basically are playing. But yeah, the Eagles look good. They're one of the better teams right now. The only thing I would say about the game this weekend, they scored all the points at one time. They didn't really do anything after the second quarter, but I guess they didn't really need to either way. And then of course the Colts beat the Chiefs, so that's good. We normally beat the Chiefs. I feel like ever since Mahomes has been there, I feel like the Colts have fared very well against the Chiefs. It was a home opener. And then for Fat Baby Funds, the Packers beat the Buccaneers, apparently, because Aaron Rodgers saw what play they were running on the big screen or something like that. You see that? That's pretty big controversy right now.
No, I didn't see that, but I did see that they won by a couple points against them. So very interesting. I didn't see them winning that game.
So basically what happened was, the way the game went is the Packers scored two touchdowns right off the bat. The Bucs had like one field goal, and then basically nothing really happened the rest of the game. And then that was all in the first quarter. And then the very last drive of the game, the Bucs down 8, basically drove down, scored a touchdown, and they had to go for two to tie the game and go to overtime. Somehow they got to delay a game on the 2-point conversion, which that is not acceptable. Like, you just scored the game-winning touchdown. You had plenty of time to have a play ready. You knew you were going to have to go for two, and then you lose 5 yards on the 2-point conversion. It's crazy. And then, obviously, they threw a pass, didn't get the 2-point conversion, and the Packers won. But in the post-game interview, and it's probably not the 2-point conversion because it would have been too fast. Like, there wouldn't have been enough time for him to relay that one in. But at the post-game interview, Aaron Rodgers basically was like, sometimes you play good and sometimes you see something on the video screen that maybe the video screen shouldn't have been showing, and then maybe that helps you out and win. So he basically was implying that he saw something at some point shown on the video screen that they probably shouldn't have been showing, and he relayed that in, and it basically helped him out. Now, I think people's taken as the 2-point conversion. I don't think that's what it was. It could have been It could have been any number of plays, I guess. But yeah, it was interesting because he was basically like, yeah, they showed something up there that shouldn't have been shown.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I didn't watch that game or hear about that. I'll go back and look at the replays a little bit and try to see what was going on. But I think this year is pretty exciting because it's really up in the air, in my opinion, of who could win it and where it goes. It doesn't seem like there's too much one sided, or like there's not just a couple teams that's going to dominate everyone. It seems like things are a little spread out, but also the teams that are currently leading, it isn't like, they dominate every year. So it's nice to see some difference in the league. I think it'll be good for the NFL, be healthy, especially where you don't have the Patriots as being the primary team anymore. And even though you have the Chiefs, which are, they had some really good teams there. Even them, they're not as strong as they had been. So I feel like you're getting a little bit more excitement coming into the NFL this season.
Yeah, I think it's certainly up in the air. Like anyone could win. Even though they lost this weekend, I still think the Bills are a step ahead of everyone else. And then I think there's a lot of AFC teams that are much better than most of the NFC teams. So I think by the time we get to the end, there'll be a pretty big disparity in the how the AFC teams that make it in and the NFC teams that make it in. There probably is going to be some pretty shitty NFC teams that make the playoffs, and then there's going to be some good AFC teams that don't. But only time will tell. It hasn't started out that way. But with that, Fat Baby's been doing our educational segment. He's obviously not here tonight, so we still want to teach you something. So I'm going to turn this over to John and let him pick. John, pick something easy to talk about. It can be something we've done before, even. And let's just do a little bit of education before we start yapping about other stuff.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think what would be a good topic to talk about. I could talk either about a little bit about options, or I could talk a little bit about futures. What do you think?
I don't know if either one of them's that great for a one-off conversation, but what something you can do that's kind of we can wrap up in one episode. Like options, there's too much involved. There are multiple topics, whereas we just need something that's really just a one-time conversation type deal.
Okay, so I think I'll talk about position sizing a little bit. It's something that I harp on a whole lot, but it's still very important. I want to start off with an example. If you have a edge in a market or in a game that you're playing, and say you have an edge or an advantage, even if you have an edge or advantage, and say this game that you're playing, you have a 99% probability of winning every single time that you play this game. If you bet, now this is an extreme example, but it still applies to percentage of edge that you have at lower percentages. But if you bet 100% of your portfolio or your money, we'll say, on this game every time you play it, even with a 99% chance, the law of large numbers says eventually that 1% time will happen. So if you play a thousand attempts at this game, theoretically you would have about 10 losing times or so. So if you bet 100% of your bankroll, essentially, then eventually that 1% time that you would lose will come up and you'll lose everything. Now, that's an extreme example, but it shows how important is, even if you have an advantage in a market and you have an edge over the market, your position sizing can make you a losing, can make what you did have an advantage in make you have a disadvantage just because you over position size. This is something that Chris and I have talked about a little bit in the past, but it just shows how important that no matter how good the trade is or how good of a game that you're playing or if you're gambling or whatever it is that you're doing, no matter how big your edge is, you can have your position sizing can be too big. So definitely take into consideration that, hey, even though this is a really good opportunity, I don't want to bet the farm on this one position. I want to make sure that I have enough to come back next time. And the long-term play in the markets is be able to return to the game and be able to continue to play and survive over the long period of time. You don't want to just go in like a lot of people did on cryptocurrencies and put up too much money, because even though people made a lot of money, crypto markets are down 70, 80, some coins are down 100%. Many coins are down 100%. Thankfully, Bitcoin has been the strongest, but it's still down 70, 80% from the top. So no matter how good the investment is, don't put too many eggs in one basket, or all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. So that would be my biggest thing, is even though you have an advantage in or an edge in a market or sports gambling, don't bet too much of your portfolio size. Let there be another day to come back and play in the market that you're playing in.
Yeah, it makes sense. And anybody who's listened to the show, we discuss this probably every other week in some form or fashion. But just to add on to what John was saying there, he used an extreme example of, you know, if you had a probability of success of 99%. Let's take it back to, you know, some of the conversation we was having about options or so last week, where I was talking about, you know, trying to find certain plays that were in, I think I said 65 to 75% probability range. So let's just go with 70% probability of profit. You don't want to have your position size too large, because like John said, you're going to have losing trades. Nobody's ever going to, you know, you're not going to continue throughout your career and just win every single time. If you're seeing someone on Twitter saying they're, you know, they win 90% of their trades or 95% of the trades, they're probably lying, if I had to guess. Actually, they're definitely lying. Same thing with gambling. If you see someone who says they're winning 75, 80% of their picks, they're incorrect. They're lying to you. So going back to that 70% probability of profit, the one thing I want to point out is you don't want to have too large of your portfolio into one trade. Instead of doing that, make more trades. So, for example, we talk about, you know, buying the 45-day to expiration options, but we close in the 20-25-day period to take out some of that risk as it gets close to expiration. The other part of that is you get to make more trades. So if you're already collecting a good portion of the credit received or the profit that you is possible, you know, you might as well just go ahead and close, because you can take that capital, and this goes into capital efficiency as well, and put it into the next trade. But what that also does is, instead of just doubling your contracts or even widening the strikes, which is probably a better way to make the position larger than is to double the actual contracts, you're actually giving yourself more chances to win, right? So if you put all that money in on one option, the larger amount or whatever, there's a chance that that position is, you know, in that 30% of losing position. However, if you do smaller trades but more of them, you're more likely to, you know, win at that, you know, 75% probability of profit. So you got to do enough to let the probability work out. You can't put all your eggs in one basket and automatically assume that what you're doing is incorrect, because that may just be that, you know, you may be in that one trade may be in the 30% that failed. So you got to keep your position sizing small so you can stay in the game, but also so you can make enough trades for the law of large numbers to work out and the probability to work out to what it mathematically is capable of being. If you bet too much, you know, to start out, say you're putting 25% of your portfolio on four trades, there's a pretty good chance that one of them may be a loser, and then you're actually, you made nothing, and you're quitting yourself out, and you're not given a chance for the probability to work out. So that'd be another reason to make more trades, but smaller. That's just what I want to add there. I know I didn't do a good job explaining there, but you'll have that sometimes.
No, I think that was good. The other thing is when you have, or typically when you have a higher probability, you have the opportunity to win more often, but your losers.
But you're giving up something, right?
Yeah, but your losers will be typically bigger than your winners if you win more often, and then vice versa. If you don't win very often, your winners won't come around as much, but they'll be bigger than your losers. And there's many different ways to play the game, but just understand that guy on Tasty Trade says this a lot. Whenever there's a gimme, there's a gotcha. So you're receiving one thing and you're giving up another, and it just depends on what you're trying to accomplish in the markets. But definitely, just whatever it is that you're doing, and whatever asset that you buy or sell, just keep the position size in check.
And this goes into something else. This goes into, kind of defining the strategy and kind of sticking to your strategy. When people start mix matching is when you can get yourself into trouble. So if you are trading a lot of your trades at 70%, probability of profit, but then all of a sudden you get the hankering to, buy some, out of the money call that's probably like a 25, 30% chance, and you keep doing that, you're basically, knocking down the whole probability of your portfolio to profit. So you want to kind of keep some things like that in mind too, and have your strategy kind of outlined so you're not, so you're not taking, two steps forward and then three steps back every single time. You want to be gradually moving forward. But like John said, to have a higher probability of profit, you have to give up something, which from the option standpoint, if you're selling options, if you have a higher probability of profit, you're receiving less credit because you're pushing your strikes out for them most of the time. If you'll receive more money for a trade that has a lower probability of profit. And that goes into trading, that goes into gambling. If you bet on the heavy favorite to win the game, you're basically not making as much, and you're basically paying the book money to place that trade, because why would they give you 50-50 odds when one team theoretically is 14 points better? So you kind of got to choose what you want to give up for what you're getting. And that goes in a lot in option trading. Not as much as buying stocks and investing. There's really the probability of profit there is theoretically 50% win, 50% lose. But that doesn't mean position sizing isn't involved in that either. For stock investing, you should think about your position sizing as more of what we talk about when we're talking about being diversified. So, like, you don't want your whole portfolio to be into one section of the market. Let's do the gambling stocks, Penn, DraftKings, all that. You don't want 80% of your money in that, and then the other 20, in tech stocks or whatever, because, if you're wrong on, an industry, then you're still going to lose a good portion of your money in stocks as well. So that's why we talk about being diversified with your stock investing as well. And that's why we talk about, if you're not good at picking companies, you're not good at diving into financials and stuff like that, maybe just stick to index funds, because index funds are already diversified. So you can just put put every ounce of your portfolio in SPY or VOO or whatever, because those are diversified, and you're actually, your position sizing in each individual sector, company, whatever, is limited to those positions. But if you're buying stocks on your own, you got to have in your head how much percent of your portfolio is going into not only individual companies, but also sectors as well. Because most of the time, when one sector goes up or one sector goes down, a lot of the companies within that sector are going to move in the same manner. So I know we're talking about options, and we talk about options and futures a lot on here, especially when we get into these position sizing and capital efficiency conversations. But just keep in mind that it's also involved in long-term investing as well. Now, like I said, if you're in index funds, it's already taken care of for you. But if you're picking individual stocks yourself, it is something you need to be aware of.
Yeah, so I think the option conversation on and the position sizing definitely really good points and something we'll get into more later when at the top of the year when we start talking about technical aspects of the market once Fat Baby wraps up the year with some fundamental things that he's been teaching everybody. I just want to go through the market trends, real quick for everybody that's been listening. Now, something I'd done earlier this week is I'd been back to our previous episodes and listened to some of the calls that I'd made at the beginning of the year for the market. One of the calls I got wrong, really the only call I got wrong was on bonds. But as the episodes progressed, I turned my positioning around on that on the episode. So I'm happy that I realized when I was wrong on bonds and put that out there for everyone that's listening. But the calls that I made exceptionally well so far was this bear market in the equities in stocks, and then also this short call on oil has been one of the best time shorts that I've probably ever made since I've been in the markets and on this podcast. Gold was something that had switched back and forth with trends, and its currently bearish trend, and something that I've really stayed on top of and been able to make those adjustments as they go. So this has been one of the better years as far as be able to react to what the market's doing and call things pretty efficiently. Still could have been better on the bonds and gold call, but bonds definitely was a loss. Gold, pretty flat, I would say, if not maybe made a couple bucks if you were listening to the podcast. So overall happy, definitely called this crash in the markets. Every week been on here really keeping up with the stock market. I know that's what most people are invested in, so I'm really happy with how that's went so far. So we're just gonna go over like we've been going over for the last few weeks on the market. So starting with the S&P 500 Volatility Index, also known as the VIX, it's currently at 32.60, and that is historically very high for the VIX, and it is bullish trend. So that's a bad sign for the stock market. The S&P 500 price directly, currently it's sitting at 3,647. It is down. Let's see, it is down 23.5% year to date. And the year to date started at 4,796. So basically, the top of the market was the top of the year for the all-time high. It was just off a couple dollars there. So basically, down 23.5%, almost 24% from the very top. It's bearish trend. Trend is at 4,100, and we're at 3,600. So trend's way up there. So and it's continuing to fall with the market. So the market is bearish for sure. This is, like I said, this has been something that I've done very well on this year, better than the last coronavirus one on social media, but that was before the podcast. So I'm happy that we are really putting out some good value for people that are listening as far as keeping up with these markets and really helping people navigate where things are going. Crude oil, it is It's been selling off like crazy. It's at 70. It ended the trading day on Tuesday at 78.34. This is something that I talked about a couple months ago, that once it broke below 95, it was going to be a short. And if it goes back above 95, you kind of cut your loss because that was right where trend is. Well, now trend is down at 93 and it's at 78. So something I will say here is, if you are short oil, I would go ahead and cover your shorts. And you might not want to cover all, but I would cover the majority of your shorts here at these levels. Markets tend to swing back and forth, and shorting on the shorts, or shorting any market is tough. So I would say definitely take some profits here if you've been following the call, or if you're short oil. I think you'll get maybe a bounce at some point that you might be able to get back in, but there's nothing wrong with taking some profits here on oil. But it is still bearish trend. Moving over to the 10-year Treasury bonds, it's bearish trend. The bond is, because the yield is bullish trend. That's something we've talked about in the past. The 10-year is at 3.96, getting close to that 4%. Yield on the 10-year. So the yield curve is inverted quite a bit. That's usually signaling bear market and recession. So something that I'm looking to continue. Go into the US dollar. The best place that I've found for the US dollar is looking at the ETF UUP. UUP is at $30.67. It's basically an easy way to track the dollar market, but it's bullish trend, and that's a bad sign for equities and debt across the board, is when the dollar is doing really well, and it's just had a tear to the upside. Its year-to-date performance is up like 20%, and this is on a currency, which is, I mean, this is ridiculous moves in the currency to the upside for the US dollar. And that's, it's based on other currencies. So even though we have inflation here in our local market, when compared to other currencies, the dollar is actually going up. And if you look at gold, gold is down about 10.5% from year to date. It's bearish trend. Trend is at 1793. It's currently at 1637. Not much to talk about there. Bitcoin trend for it is at 27,000. It's currently at 19,100. And it is down 60% from the top of the year, and it's down even more. It's down even more if you take it back from its all-time high. It's down 68% from basically its all-time high, 68, 70%. And then there's just three stocks I want to cover today that I find that's pretty interesting. We're going to go over AMD, Advanced Micro Devices. It's a bearish trend. It was the top trade stock today. It's trended at 95. The stock price is all the way down there at $67. So something we're going to definitely stay away from, but a lot of people are selling this stock today. It is the top traded stock. And then the second top traded stock today was Ford. This was something we talked about last podcast. It had broke trend. Trend is at basically around $15. It's at 11.91. So been a lot of selling in this stock for a few days, as being the number one stock traded, and it's all been down. So people are dumping their shares in AMD and Ford. Now Apple, here's an interesting one that we talked about. Apple's stayed relatively strong compared to the rest of the market. For it to be an individual stock, I mean, it's only down 14.5% from the top of the year, and the market and the S&P 500 is down, like I said, like 23.5. So, big divergence in performance when you're looking at individual stocks. Usually, their beta is a lot higher and the volatility is a lot higher than the overall market, but it has broken trend here. Trend is at 155, it's at 151. So Apple could be one of the stocks that could help lead this market lower. And it was a top three traded stock. It was the third place stock traded today, and it was on a down move. So you're getting increasing volume on a down move. So that's a technically, that's not good news for these three stocks and the overall stock market when your top three stocks were all down and they were the most traded stocks. So that's my review of the market. Nothing's really changed. All markets are bearish across asset classes. There's really nowhere for the bulls to hide. They're all getting taken out behind the woodshed and slaughtered. So all bad news here on all market fronts, pretty much. Back to you, Chris.
Yeah, market's been down. There's not much more to say about that. But what I would say is if you're young and you're a long-term investor, if you just keep up on the dollar cost averaging, it'll all work itself out in the long run. A lot of people say wealth is made in recessions, and that's because things get super cheap. And if you don't, recessions, if you're struggling to put food on the table and stuff like that, that's why recessions are bad, because the majority of America, when inflation's super high and everything like that goes up, there's people who really struggle to make ends meet. But if you're one of the lucky ones who, you're making ends meet fine, you're keeping up with how much you're investing each week, things like that, you have the money to go ahead and invest, recessions are the best for you, because when all the prices are super, super down, you can, gobble up, shares, and then when eventually the market swings back, which it will swing, it always swings back, you're gonna be pretty well off. Now, if you're an older person and you're in a bear market, kind of like we are now, or a recession, or whatever you want to call it, then you kind of want to sit on the sidelines. Take whatever profits you had, sit on the sidelines, that sort of thing. Because, if it take say it takes 2 years for us to go back, but you're 65 years old, you need you can't just wait it out. But if you're, 25 years old, 26 years old, you can wait it out, no problem. So I'm not really worried about, where we're at market wise. My portfolio, of course, is down on the year. A lot of that's because the majority of my portfolio is long-term positions. But I was looking the other day, I'm actually up on my realized gains, which would be all trades. So I'm actually having a decent year trading. I think I'm up like 8% or something like that, John. Just trading premium. So I haven't sold any stocks or anything like that really, this year. So trading's going pretty well. And of course, everything else, shares are down. John mentioned AMD. That one's starting to get in the area where it's starting to look a little bit more interesting. I think the P ratio is about 25 now. It was over 100. So there are some stocks that were way, way, way super overpriced that are starting to get back into areas where maybe there are investments or plays to be made. And then that's actually one for long term. If you've been sitting on the sideline waiting and you like that industry, we're starting to get to a level where it's worth it. Before, it certainly wasn't worth it. And you could tell that it wasn't worth it because earlier this year, a bunch of insiders dumped shares. One insider, I think, dumped $4.1 million worth of shares in one transaction at over $100. Once you start seeing, people on the inside starting to dump massive amounts of their shares, that means they know it's currently overpriced. So why not get some profit on it, because you can just buy it back when it goes lower. And that's kind of what happened in AMD.
Definitely an interesting market. I would say most people, other than if you only trade, I think people have done very well. But if you're a long-term investor or just someone that has an investing portfolio, you're most likely down on the year.
Yeah, if you only trade, you don't really have, there's no reason for you to be down if you're trading, right? Because the market, you can trade both ways. You can trade up and you can trade down. The market volatility is high, so there is plenty of swings in the market, plenty of opportunity to trade. So if you only trade and you have no long-term investments and you're like down, 5-10%, you need to reevaluate your strategy because it's not working. Because most of the people, when we say, everyone's portfolio is down, it's because the majority of people don't just trade. They have shares for the long term and things like that. Now, people who trade shares, I guess, like I guess we know some people who buy shares, and then when they get to certain levels, they trade them, so they don't plan on, buying a certain company today and then holding it for 25, 30 years. They buy shares, and then whenever it gets to the level they have calculated that they like, whether that be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they're going to sell it. Some of those people probably are, could definitely be down because it's the same as long term. It's kind of the same as long term investing in the short term, but the plan, the end goal is different. But if you're like simply trading options and stuff like that, and you're down, then you got to reevaluate because you shouldn't be. Typically, when there's big moves either way, as long as you're jumping on what the, trend is, you should be doing pretty well. But we'll see how it continues towards the end of the year. We'll keep hammering home the same things we've been talking about. Currently, as John mentioned, there's really nothing new in the market that we haven't discussed. Everything's really built behind the Fed policy and whether or not at some point they're going to push it to the extreme and go overboard, which is most likely what will happen because we've talked about it multiple weeks in a row now about how the data is kind of backlogged and what decision gets made aren't isn't really incorporating, now it's incorporating, whether it's a month or a few months back. So of course, we talked about last week, the market had priced in that the Feds will raise rates about, 75 basis points, and that's exactly how much they raised, which I do think, I don't know if the market was happy about it per se, but that's what the market expected. So that made, that made sense that they did that. Nobody was too pissed off. But at some point, as we keep having these Fed meetings and they keep raising the rates, chances are at some point we'll be at a level where we need to be at to fight inflation, and they'll raise it one more time, and we'll actually start going backwards down the other side, kind of like the metaphor John used last week with the ball rolling down the hill. But other than that, there's really nothing new that wasn't here last week. We've been trending down for a while now. Inflation's super high. We did have one down. I think August inflation actually dropped, and then then September it was up again. So there for a month, it looked in August, it looked like we was heading in the right direction, and then basically that was a false alarm, and we really didn't have any movement at all. And that's kind of where we sit now. And until some of that stuff gets figured out and gets better, the market's going to do what it's going to do. How much farther we have to go down, who knows? I'm not as, I guess it's not as much of a pessimist as John, but I wouldn't say I'm an optimist either. I think we're just going to be kind of in the same range for a while. You see, here the last few days we've had huge swings in the market, which is not what I want to see. We had, I don't want to look at my per. You never really want to look at your profile intraday, really vice versa, to be honest, and see it up. Not just your portfolio. Let's the S&P 500 or whatever, and it'd be up 1.7%, and then the next time you look at it, down 0.5%. Those big swings are great for day traders, but for anyone else who's trying to invest or do other strategies, that's not what you want to see, and that's what we've been seeing here recently. Just huge intraday swings. Last few days has started up and finished down, so we'll see how it shakes out. John, you got anything else before we end the show for tonight?
Yeah, I mean, we actually made new lows today, but we pulled back up from the year to date. We actually made new lows, but we popped back up above there for a little while. But yeah, I mean, I think the market's going to continue to go a lot lower. I think there'll be another something will happen, or just companies will start reporting their previous earnings, and the market will finally figure out that, hey, no, this is going to be a lot worse than people had priced in. I think that there's still, I would be surprised if there's another 10% to the downside here that hasn't been priced in. So,
but with that being said, and we talked about this a lot when we first started the show towards COVID. Everyone was during COVID, everyone was super doom and gloom, and the market all went so far down. And then basically what happened is companies started reporting earnings and stuff like that. And it was determined, hey, it really, business really isn't as bad as expected. And that's why we saw a humongous shoot back up when, things started opening up. A lot of that was because the market was, oversold. I think more likely what we're going to see, like I said, the market definitely could start, could continue going down. However, at the same time, it's going to go down to a point where we're oversold again, and then we have all these banks and banks and everyone making these analyses on what they expect profit margins and things like that to be with the supply chain issues for companies going into the next year, which part of the reason why the market's so far down is a bunch of them came out and they basically was their expectation of profit margins for next year are not that good. I think at some point we're going to get to a level where we're oversold, and then companies are going to report their earnings and this, that, and the other. And when they do so, it's going to be the opposite. It isn't as bad doom and gloom as what expected, similar to like COVID, and then we're going to start popping up again. That doesn't mean we're going back to all-time highs, but what it means is everything isn't just going to go to shit. I think that's more likely what will happen. That's just my opinion. But with that, if you're listening to the show, who knows what the final product will end up like. We've had crazy amounts of technical issues tonight. Service going in and out. John, I think, is having quite a bit of trouble. He's popped in and out a few times and popped back in. So we've stopped and then started, stopped and started and stopped and started, which is going to create a shit ton of editing that John will have to do to cut this together. But if it doesn't flow perfectly together tonight, that's on us. If you're having trouble keeping up or listening, it don't sound right, just don't listen to this one, and we'll get back next week. Sometimes you have that. It is technology. But with that, if you're not doing so yet, follow us on Twitter at SwingIt, and we'll catch you guys next week.
The contents of this week's episode of the Just Swinging It podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only. All persons are only given their opinions and are not to be considered financial advice. The Just Swinging It podcast isn't responsible for any financial actions you may take based on the conversations held on this show.